Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio today with Tanya and Beth and Janelle and Miss Tara.
And Sandy.
And Sandy. I always forget Sandy. That. Last time we were here, we were in Matthew 9:35 through 10:16. And I remember Tara talking about God brings people into our lives for a purpose. And I know she calls them her peeps. Yep. So we're her peeps. And he wants us to pray for those people and find out what kind of gift they have so that we can call them out on their gift and then send them out to do Jesus' work with their special gifts. So today we will be continuing on in Matthew 10:16 through 42, and we're going to hear about Jesus' warnings to the disciples. And Tara says there are warnings, actions, and blessings.
There's so many. It's just incredible. Like, just telling everybody, I hope we can even get through it. One of the things that I want to bring up is we have to understand that this passage is a preparation passage. A major shift is occurring in Jesus' ministry. Up to this point, before Matthew 10, it was all about Jesus' ministry and Jesus bringing in the kingdom and preaching, teaching, healing, and discipling the disciples. It is getting close to the time when Jesus will no longer be with them, and so it's time for him to send. And before we even look at this passage, even though it's much later, I just want us to keep in mind that when Jesus is about to ascend, he gives the command, go make disciples of all nations. And right here, the very first thing he's going to give to the disciples is he's going to give a warning. And the warning is that he is sending them out as sheep among wolves. And this morning I was praying through that, and I'm thinking, God, that's not natural. I don't like wolves. I don't want to be near a wolf. I don't like them. They bite. Mm-hmm. They pull the fur. They get through the fur. They get to the flesh. They have teeth that hurt. I, as a sheep, will flee when it comes to wolves. Yet he is very clearly telling them, I am sending you as sheep among wolves. And so that which is not natural, when it comes to the spiritual, it's a command. It's a reality. It is something that is going to happen. And so we can automatically assume that as a believer or a leader in things of God that is proclaiming the kingdom of heaven has come through Jesus Christ, we will find ourselves as sheep among wolves. And so I want that really to be resonating in our minds as we go through what is, and other people may have found more, but as I was studying this passage, I ended up coming up with 11 warnings, 20 actions he gives as what to do, and then 11 rewards. And I was blessed to find out that the warnings and the rewards had a balance to them, so that even though this may happen, this is the blessing that will come. And that in order to handle that, it's almost double with the action plan of how to deal with the warning and to get to the blessing. So, you know, what I love is he equips. He equips. So there is nothing that we will face that we're not equipped for. And I was reminded of, you know, when he was saying, you know, no one goes to build a house without first counting the cost, okay? And how we as disciples need to count the cost. And at this point, that's what he's doing. He is helping them count the costs as sheep among wolves. So I'm going to take us through this passage. It will take us a while, and so give me grace in that, and let's just see what we've learned today. Now, what we need to understand is to set the context. He has had them, he's told them, he has sent them. He goes, I want you to go into the city, I want to the villages, and go two by two, and the place that will listen and be discipled, stay. The place that won't, shake the dust off your feet. So that has happened, and now he is telling them this is what's going to occur. So he says to them, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, and I want you to be as wise as a serpent. Oh, but so innocent as a dove. And beware these men, because these men are going to drag you into the courts. They're going to flog you, and they're going to bring you before the kings and the governors, and they are going to cause you to have to bear witness before the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, I don't want you to be anxious. That's not what I'm calling you to. What I want you to know is that in that hour when you are called to speak, I will give you what you need to say through the Spirit that the Father sends. He said, brother will be against brother, and he'll bring him over to death. Father, his child, children against parents, will have them put to death. He says, not only that, but you're going to be hated because of my name. Because of my name, you will be hated. And the one that endures to the end, that one will be saved. They will persecute you in one town. When that happens, go to the next. For I tell you that you will not have gone to all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple will never be above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. And it's enough that you're just like your teacher as a disciple, and that the servant is like his master. If they call the master the devil, how much more will they call you that's in the same household? Oh, don't be afraid of the attack of these men, for nothing will be covered that won't be revealed, or nothing that will be hidden will not be known. It's going to be out in the light. It's not going to stay in the dark. And so don't worry. What I tell you in the dark, I want you to whisper in the light. And what I proclaim in the light. And what I whisper to you, I want you to shout from the rooftops. Don't fear the one that's going to kill your body, but the one that can kill your soul. Rather, I want you to fear the one that literally can put you into hell. Because aren't two sparrows worth a penny? How much more then is my Father's heart for you? Because he even cares about the number of hairs on your head. So don't be afraid, because you have far more value. And anyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I'm going to deny before the Father. Don't think that I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword this time. For I have come to set man against father, and daughter against mother, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. A person's enemies is not his own in his own household. And whoever loves their father or mother or daughter or brother or sister more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Ah, the one who receives a prophet will receive the prophet's reward, and the one who receives righteous person will receive the righteous person's reward. And whoever gives of these little ones even a cold cup of water, he is truly my disciple, for I say to you, he will not lose his reward. May God honor the telling of his word. I mean, there's so much in this passage that honestly, Sandy, you're right. We may have to take 2 months to cover it. It's one of those passages that honestly that you sit there and think, okay, you know, I could give you 3 points and move on. But there's so much depth of what Jesus had to say here that I really think we could sit 6 months and still not truly pull it apart the way that he would like for us to get it down. And so the first thing I want us to do is I wanted us as a group just to reflect on what does it mean literally to be the sheep among wolves, to be as innocent as a dove but as wise as a serpent. What does that conjure up in your mind? What does that make you think of? I mean, because that is really hard to imagine. It's like, what do you mean you want me to be a sheep? All these animals, wolves, sheep, doves, serpent. I mean, here all of a sudden I'm a sheep, I'm a dove, and I'm a serpent. And it's like, okay, which one am I? And why is he using animals to describe the characteristics of what he wants in us? So what are the qualities that you think of when you think of these things?
Well, I thought it just vulnerable.
Okay.
We're very vulnerable to what happens, you know, when we go forth and try to preach the word.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Anyone else?
I think we have to, he's helping us to relate that the people he's sending us to will be hard on the outside, and the best way they'll receive is if we are tender and gentle mm-hmm. and humble.
Like him. Mm-hmm. 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 And we can't feel that rejection because, you know, it's up to God whether he touches their heart or not, not us.
Mm. But at the same time, we also have to be wise. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With his wisdom.
Yeah.
But it's also not to respond to them the way they're talking to us.
Correct.
Because even mm-hmm. if they're, you know, angry and mean, we still have to respond. You know, they always say it's harder to respond kindly. The stronger person is the one who doesn't respond in kind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and Proverbs still said that a lot. I read that this morning, you know, about your tongue and your mm-hmm. anger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is interesting that we talk about being separate from the world so much, and we don't think, we talk about being, you know, we think we're better than the world. We don't ever think of it as the world is a bunch of wolves that can hurt mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. but we're the only sheep. We're mm-hmm. the ones that stand out, the innocent ones that care for their hearts, not are out to attack them. Mm-hmm. And, but using wisdom with that to understand how best to glorify God in each situation and how best to reach them. Mm-hmm. Not just put ourselves out on a platter for them to kill us, but to do something that's effective that will actually bring God glory.
Right. Mm. And that's why I love it that he sends us two by two. We're mm-hmm. not expected to go out there alone.
Mm. When Michaela was really little, she had hair that, she has long hair now, but her hair was literally down past her waistline. And she would wear it in a ponytail on the back of her head everywhere she went. Everywhere she was running, she had this long ponytail flying behind her. And one day, we were at my sister's house, and she had a dog, Kona. Kona was getting old. And the flip-flops of Michaela's shoes is the only thing we could think of. It must have scared Kona. And Michaela was running, and she got near Kona. It scared Kona so bad, she jumped up and grabbed the back of Michaela's head with her mouth. And the ponytail is what saved Michaela's head. And the doctors were like, really, actually probably saved her from what would have been a very serious injury. It protected the teeth from sinking in. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I'm visualizing a wolf coming at me as a woolly sheep. And do you understand that wool is a protection? That there is a protection that occurs in the wool, the protection that just visualizing that and how it guards us from that. And our protection, the wool, is the word of God, is how I was visualizing it. And thinking through of making sure that I have my covering on as my sheep, that's part of my wisdom. But at the same time, I have to ask y'all, because we've emphasized the innocent of the dove. And Tanya did say the wisdom, we need the serpent's cunning. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I have a question for you. Do serpents strike?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. So if we are to have the wisdom of a serpent, are there going to be times when we're amongst wolves that we need to strike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's not always going to be nice, mm-hmm. is it? Mm-hmm. Because there are times we have to strike the wolves down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to kind of bring that in for us to understand. That's the reason why he tells us wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. Because I think we want to sit in the kind side. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is the lion mm-hmm. and the lamb. Mm-hmm. He will roar when he has to mm-hmm. protect his people or his word, his truth. And so I want us to be thinking about that, because there will be times that as a believer or as a leader, we might be called to strike when the enemy seeks to attack, especially if the wolves are trying to take someone from our flock.
Right. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Kindness is not going to stop a wolf from attacking the flock.
Yeah. Mm.
And so we will have moments where we will have to stand guard and say, not my sheep. Mm-hmm. I've been given this flock, and I've been commanded to take care of the flock. Right. And I think that's heavy on my heart more than ever right now as the Dean of Women at Grace University. And Tanya, I want to start crying. I bet you feel the same way about your soccer teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Open Door Mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my people at the Open Door Mission, because the wolves are out to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I am finding more and more that as I mature and grow in Christ, I'm learning I have to have that lion that part of the serpent, stand up. Not an easy thing.
Mm-mm. And that's where the wisdom comes in, too. You know, to know that you're being attacked.
When to strike. When to strike. Yes. Yeah. And recognizing who the wolf is.
Right.
Because sometimes they have sheep's clothing on.
Yes, they do. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So true.
All right. So I wanted us to hear this. Now, I want you to take this, and I want you to recognize something. In this passage, he is actually breaking it down. There's two levels of persecution that will come. He is preparing them for two levels. The first level, amongst the sheeps and amongst the wolves, where the sheeps are going amongst the wolves, he names out who they're going to be. So look at that passage in 16, and I think it's probably like 17. I don't have it labeled on my notes. Guard against in 17 through 18. Who does he say he's going to be? They're going to be up against. He lists them out in the scripture.
So they'll be handed over to the local councils and the synagogues, and governors and kings.
Tell me, what would that represent?
Our government.
Our government, and who else?
Our religious leaders.
Our government and our religious leaders. The first wave of persecution for a believer is going to come from those that are the authorities. The authorities over them. That's the first wave. And so we should not be shocked when the authorities over us do not honor that which is of God. Because that first wave of attack will come from them. All right, the second wave of attack is going to be spoken through verse 21. Yeah, in verse 21, it says it, so we can just use that one. It's in other places as well, but somebody look at and read verse 21 to us.
It's when it's family sometimes.
Okay. What does he say specifically? What, father?
Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved.
All right. So, first wave, religious and political. Essentially, it represents the community of the greater picture. And then it narrows down, if we brought the funnel to home, it's going to be moms and dads, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, that kind of thing. The very one that you would never expect, the blood line. The attack will come through the bloodline. Many years ago, I was reading Bruce Wilkinson's, really, we only have that much time left. Well, it looks like we're going to talk about that part next week. So you have to come back, because I read a really good book that really sums this up well, and we'll connect with you on that next week. God bless.